God, it'll be a great night. Amen.
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 Be turning to Luke chapter 19, and while you're turning there, and just a quick announcement about Friday night. This Friday night at 6:30, we're going to start the movie Taco and Nacho Bar, served at 5:45, but movie night, 5:45, then the movie at 6:30. Be watching the movie, I Can Only Imagine. So if you would mark your calendars for that, plan to come out, I know we'll have a great time together. Luke chapter 19, I want to read about a familiar story to many of you about a man named Zacchaeus.
Oh, yeah.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man.
Yeah, wee little man was he. That's right.
He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord. He
wanted to know. That's right.
But before we get into this here in Luke chapter 19, I was thinking about just how we're told in Scripture how we're supposed to be fishers of men. And everywhere that Jesus went, he modeled that for his disciples. After he called them by the Sea of Galilee and told them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Everywhere Jesus went, he's always finding people. Yeah. And he's doing a great work in their lives. And as I was thinking about that, I thought back to when I was a teenager. I grew up in Nashville. And one of the highlights of my life growing up is sometimes my dad would take me back to Smith County. That's where he grew up, over around Carthage and Gordonsville, east of Nashville. And sometimes we'd leave Nashville, we'd get out of town, and we would go up to Smith County, and we would wade the creeks, and we would fish. And that was some of the highlights, because I got to spend time with my dad, but also because we'd fish. And you know, whenever you're wading a creek, especially in the summertime, you're going to find some places where there's not much water.
Yeah.
And it won't do much good to fish there. But if you keep walking on, the water will get a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper until you finally find the right fishing hole. And, you know, you may walk a long way before you find the right fishing hole, but once you find the right fishing hole, you could catch a whole day's worth just in that one fishing hole. And, you know, we're to be fishers of men. Now, I want us to see tonight, Jesus, as he's going through Jericho, he finds a man. And in finding a man, he finds a fishing hole at that man's house. And, you know, we're to be going, as we're going about our lives, we're to be letting Jesus direct our way to the fishing holes where we can see people come to faith in Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right.
And so we find here, beginning at verse 1 in Luke chapter 19, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans." Not the Republicans, but the publicans.
The publicans.
"And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press or the crowd, because he was little of stature." That means he was real short. "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day," notice especially this next phrase, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The reason that Jesus came was to find the Zacchaeuses of the world and to bring them salvation. But not just to bring them salvation, and not just to fish for individuals, but to see through those individuals many people in their families also come to faith in Jesus. It's just something about, I heard Pastor Johnny Hunt say this one time, pastor of First Baptist Church of Woodstock. He said, more than not, if you get the man, you'll get the whole family.
That's right. That's right.
And when Jesus finds this man, and this man's life is then changed, not only him, but his entire household is changed. As salvation, he says salvation has come to this house. What you and I need more than anything for our homes is for salvation to come to our homes. What America needs tonight is for salvation to come to the homes of the people that live here. What Aaron needs tonight is for salvation to come to our homes. What we need is the salvation of God to come, and when it comes, it totally changes the atmosphere and totally changes the lives of the individuals in that home. What is it about this salvation? We know that it's a great salvation. Hebrews 2 and verse 3 tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Notice that Jesus told people about salvation. He started with his disciples, and then those people that he and them would reach. And then it kept on going down to where when the letter to the Hebrews was written, it says that this salvation, this so great salvation, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And now for 2,000 plus years, we're to carry that on. Yeah. And we have been carrying that on as we've been telling people about this great salvation. It's great because of the price that was paid for it. Now Jesus, when he shows up at Jericho and he finds this man named Zacchaeus, he's passing through Jericho the last time on his way to Jerusalem, where his hour was going to come when he would go to a cross and he would shed his blood to pay for the sins of the world. And Jesus, with the cross in front of him, and he knows that's what's awaiting him when he goes to Jerusalem, and he's telling him, I'm going to go there and I'm going to die, but 3 days later I'm going to take my life back up again. He knows that the cross is ahead of him. He's about to pay the ultimate price for the salvation of the Zacchaeuses of the world. Now, Zacchaeus wasn't a good man. He was a scoundrel. He was a thief. He had gotten rich by exploiting his own people on behalf of the Roman government. But Jesus was paying for salvation, not of good people, but of sinners. And that's good news tonight, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't die for good people, because there's none that do good. No, not one. Jesus died for those of us who are sinners, and he purchased this salvation with his own blood. Now that's important, because Hebrews 9:22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of our sins. Had Jesus not gone to an old rugged cross, and had he not shed his blood on that cross, we would have no forgiveness. We would have no remission. But because Jesus went to the cross and he shed his blood, I'm glad there's no sinner that's too far gone. And there's no sin that's too great that he cannot forgive it and he cannot save. It's a great salvation because of the price that was paid for it. And because he purchased it with his blood and proclaimed it through the cross, and he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Because Jesus was lifted up, now you and I have a choice to make. We have to surrender to the will of the Father and repent. Matthew 7:21 tells us, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So what's the will of the Father in heaven? The will of the Father in heaven is that he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. The gospel is for whosoever will, anyone, any place, any time, who will by faith turn from their sin and turn to Jesus can be saved. And we must bow our knee to him as our Lord. Philippians 2 verses 10 and 11 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If we want this great salvation, we have to admit that we've sinned and our way isn't working. And we confess our powerlessness to save ourselves and surrender to Jesus as the Lord and boss of our life, giving Him full control. And when He comes in, He changes everything. It's great because of the price that was paid, but it's great because of the pardon that is received.
Amen. Right.
A full pardon is waiting for you tonight through Jesus Christ, and it was paid for on Calvary. All you have to do is receive it. He completely saves. He saves completely and instantaneously and immediately. And not only is His salvation great, it's a glorious salvation. It's immediate. It's glorious because it's immediate. Notice what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. He said, this day salvation has come. Not just, if you'll try real hard and you'll do better, Zacchaeus, then maybe, just maybe, on down the line somewhere, things will change. On down the line somewhere, Zacchaeus, you'll be able to realize that you're saved. No, it's an immediate thing. He said, today, this day. What does 2 Corinthians tell us? It tells us today's the day of salvation.
Yeah.
Now's the accepted time. Yeah. Why does He say that? Because you can be saved today. You don't have to wait. You can be changed today. You can be converted. You can be taken off the road to hell, put on the road to heaven. You can be radically changed in an instant when you come to Jesus Christ. And because Jesus came to this man's house, He changes. He's converted. He's a new creature. Immediately made new. Jesus meets us at our point of need, where we are. But praise God, He doesn't leave us where we were.
Praise the Lord.
And we are born again. Lifted up. Brought out. Taken out of the miry clay. Set on a solid rock to stay. Why? All because of His love. Just because He loved us with a greater love all the way to the end. His goodness bringing us to repentance where we change our mind. And as we change our mind, He changes our life. We experience His love, His grace that is sufficient to save anyone and everyone. And this salvation, this glorious salvation, this immediate conversion is for anybody and everyone who will believe. You know, it's real easy for us to think, well, you know, God can save them and change them, but I'm just too far gone. No, you're not too far gone. If you'll come to Jesus, He can save you. He can change you. It's for anyone who believes. It's for rich and poor, young and old, male and female, Jew and Gentile. It doesn't matter your economic status, your racial status. It's for anyone who will come by faith to Jesus Christ. He said, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Immediate conversion. And this immediate conversion brings immediate change. Notice Zacchaeus, who's a tax collector, who had gotten rich by taking from people more than what they owed and pocketing the difference for himself. He says, here's the proof of his change. When Jesus comes to his house, he says, I'm going to give half of what I have away to the poor. Mm. And anybody that I've stolen from, I'm going to give them four times what I stole from them. That's change. Do you believe in immediate change, Brother Nathan? Absolutely, I believe in immediate change. I've seen addicts set free when they came to Jesus. I've seen drunkards who were made sober when they came to Jesus. I can take you to a man over in Dixon County tonight named Richard Mangrum who he tells his story about how one night he'd been drinking and he said, but I was about to take another drink that night, and he said, I was even thinking about taking my own life because I'd gotten down so far. My wife had left me. He said, I'd about lost everything. And he said, I noticed on the television a gospel program being played. And I saw, he said, they weren't preaching. They were just sitting around a table talking about the cross and talking about the power of the cross. And he said, I got down beside my bed that night and I said, God, if you can change me, I'm willing to give it all to you. And God immediately took alcohol from him.
Amen.
A drunkard was made sober. Abusers are mean, and mean men are made gentle when they come to Jesus. Grudges are dropped. The emotionally disturbed are given peace. And such were some of you. Every one of us can go back to a time and place where we were messed up and jacked up, but Jesus Christ showed up and changed everything.
Amen.
He does it immediately. Immediate conversion that brings immediate change. And the immediate change also is a result of an immediate commitment.
Yeah.
An immediate commitment. Everyone Jesus met immediately wanted to follow him. They didn't want to go back to their old life. They wanted to follow Jesus. He showed up, like I said, by the Sea of Galilee, and those rugged fishermen, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And what did they do? They left their nets and their father in the boat and they followed him. He showed up over in Gadara one day and there was this demoniac, this man with a legion of demons running naked and wild through the tombs and through the graveyard. And Jesus shows up and then we find him clothed and in his right mind as Jesus drives the demons from him. And that man is then clinging to Jesus, begging for Jesus to let him go with him. There's just something about meeting Jesus that makes us want to follow him.
Yeah.
We volunteer ourselves. He says, whosoever will can come. We want to confess him. If we believe on him, we won't be put to shame or we won't be ashamed. We make a public profession and confession of our faith. We identify publicly with him through baptism. And then we want to go with him. I think about the Apostle Paul when he met Jesus, Saul of Tarsus, going to Damascus to persecute Christians, and Jesus struck him down with a bright light. And he says, who art thou, Lord? What would you have me to do? Notice that. Jesus shows up. He's like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Immediate commitment. We want to do what he says do. We become his workmen doing good works. It's a great salvation. It's a glorious salvation, but I find a third thing about this. It's a contagious salvation.
Yeah.
He says, salvation has come to thy house. Literally to thy household. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, thy household. In other words, when you get one to come to faith in Jesus, and the people around them start to see the change that Jesus is making in their lives, there's just something about that that attracts other people to where they want to come. You tell others about it, but then they begin to see it. I think about when I was a teenager, my dad was pastor at Rayon City Baptist Church in Old Hickory, Tennessee. And we used to have weekly visitation program where we'd go out and we'd visit people that had come and visited the church that week. And it was visitation night, and a lady in our church named Janie and another lady, they were going out to make a visit to what they thought was the house, the address of someone that had come and visited the church that week. The only problem was where they were supposed to be was two streets over from where they ended up. They knocked on that door. The person came to the door, they introduced themselves, told them while they were there, and they were like, well, this ain't the right place. But then the woman began to cry. They found out that the wrong house was actually the right house.
Oh,
because two people got saved. What happened? Woo! Jesus led them to the right fishing hole.
That's right.
Jesus led them to where they needed to be. And when Jesus brought about that divine appointment where they were with the right people at the right place at the right time, salvation came to that home. And many in that home were saved and changed because they met Jesus. I think about T.J. Smith, who God healed of cancer. But before God did that, he was coming on the bus to our church. And One night, his dad showed up on a Sunday night at church. He'd never been there before. We were kind of surprised, and we're like, Tim, why'd you come tonight? He said, well, my two boys, TJ and Chris, that have been riding the bus to church, I came in on them tonight, and they were saying their nightly prayers. They were down by their bed. He said, they didn't know I was listening, but they were praying for me and Lynn, who was his wife, to get saved. They came and got saved. His brother then came and got saved and is a preacher in Old Hickory today.
Amen.
What happens? Somebody gets saved and the entire home begins to change. Amen. It's contagious. People in this room no doubt can tell stories about how Jesus saved you. Amen. And then others that have been brought as a result of that. What am I saying tonight in closing? You can be the one to break the chain of lostness and addiction in your family.
Yeah.
If you're watching at home, you can be the one to break the chain that the devil has had you bound with.
That's right.
And had others in your family bound with. And you can see those chains broken. You can see the shackles loosed. You can see Jesus change you and change others through you. You can be the one to break the chain and begin a new chain of salvation that's going to change everybody. God wants to save people. He's still able to save people. And then He wants to not just save us, He wants to use us to make a difference.
That's right there.
Well, I'm too old to make a difference. If you got breath in your lungs, you're not too old to make a difference.
That's right.
As long as you're breathing, there's something God wants to do through you. He wants to lead us to the fishing holes where we'll see many people come to faith in Christ. But we got to go. You know, I never got to a fishing hole in Hickman Creek in Sykes, Tennessee, without us first getting in the car in Old Hickory and driving an hour east of Nashville to get there.
That's right there.
And likewise, I've never led anybody to Christ that I didn't go and tell them about Jesus.
That's right.
Or that as I was going, I took time to talk to them about Jesus. But if we'll follow Him and we'll let Him have His way in our lives, He'll change our life, and then He'll lead us to other people who He can use us to say a right word for them at the right time and see them come to faith in Him. I wonder who might be changed, who might be saved and changed this week if we just let Jesus use us. If we just say, Jesus, use me this week. However you see fit, with whoever you lead me to, Lord, use me to see salvation come to somebody's house this week. And then we'll never know this side of eternity what a difference it made.
That's right.
If everyone would bow your head and close your eyes. Maybe tonight there's somebody here that's never experienced that great and glorious salvation. Maybe you've never really turned from your sin and given your life to Jesus. I'm telling you, He loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, God loves you. And He loved you so much that He sent Jesus, His only Son, to die on an old rugged cross and shed His blood to pay for your sins. And all He says is, if you will, come. He tells us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be saved. That means to believe to the point where we give Him our life. He tells us that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've never done that, and you've never experienced His salvation in that way, maybe tonight, right there where you're seated, either in this room or at home watching by Facebook, maybe just pray a prayer. Maybe a prayer like this would just put into words what you're feeling in your heart. But if you know you need to do that, you need His salvation, why not just tell Him, dear Jesus, you can repeat privately as I repeat publicly, if that's what you want to do. Tell him, dear Jesus, I know I've sinned. I've messed up and done wrong. Please forgive me. I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood to pay for my sin. And I believe you rose from the dead to give me eternal life. Jesus, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. If you'll save me right now, I'll give you my life. Come in and change me. From this night forward, the best I know how, I want to live for you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Every head still bowed, every eye still closed. If you're watching at home, if you just prayed that prayer with us, would you just message us and let us know that you did that?
Mm-hmm.
But those in this room, with your head bowed and eyes closed, if there's anyone here tonight that you just prayed that prayer and trusted Jesus, that's the commitment you want to make tonight, I'd like to know about that. And here's how you can let me know about it. I don't want you to raise your hand or anything, but just while everybody has their head bowed and eyes closed, if you're making that commitment tonight and you prayed that prayer, would you just look up at me and make eye contact? And by doing that, I'll know you prayed that prayer and that you're trusting Jesus as your Savior tonight. Is there anyone that did that? You want to make that commitment? All right, by our testimony tonight, I trust that everyone's already done that. Maybe you need to make a new commitment to Christ and you want to follow Him to the fishing holes. And you want to let Him use you to tell others about His good news and His great salvation. In a moment, I'm going to have a prayer. But I'd like to pray for each one of you that God's dealing with you about that tonight. And if you would, just lift your hand and I'll know that you want to be prayed about for that. Lord, help me to follow you to the fishing holes and tell others about you. You just lift your hand if that's the commitment you want to make. God bless you. Who else? Godspeed, God bless you. Who else tonight? I want to follow Jesus through the fishing holes this week. Let Him use me. God bless you. Put your hands back down. A moment after this prayer, we're going to sing a song. We've got some kneeling rails up here. If you need to come pray about something or you'd like someone to pray with you, maybe you got somebody on your heart you'd like to come pray for. I'd be glad to pray with you if you need someone to pray with you, or if you just want to kneel here by yourself and pray. Just do business with the Lord tonight. Lord, thank you for speaking. Thank you that we have a great salvation because we got a great Savior. And Lord, help us never get over what you did for us. And Lord, help us tell as many people as we can about you until you come again. And Lord, just use us this week to find the right fishing holes, to see salvation come to some households and some lives eternally changed for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing tonight.
You know this song, amazing. But everybody stand. And if you need to come to kneel and pray, come right now.